Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is April 6, 2020. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Revolut expands crypto offering but not in the US. South Korean Central Bank accelerates digital currency pilot to keep up with other nations. Poloniex's Neutron-powered IEO platform moves exchange closer to Justin Sun's orbit. Shift Network to build FATF-compliant identity layer for Polkadot. Victims accuse Wells Fargo subsidiary of turning blind eye to $35 million crypto Ponzi. Crypto M&A and fundraising dropped sharply in 2019, PwC report. Major crypto firms including Binance, Civic, Tron targeted in flood of lawsuits. New software fix offers Bitcoin miners increased security. Bitcoin equities markets rally on signs of hope. First mover, trillions in coronavirus stimulus bring out the Bitcoin bulls. Crypto long and short, is Bitcoin more like gold or equities? Now let's get started. Revolut expands crypto offering but not in the US. UK challenger bank Revolut said all standard users will now be able to buy and sell cryptocurrencies supported in its banking app, though this won't include US residents for now. Revolut had already planned to expand its crypto offering later this year. But in an email to users, the bank's head of crypto, Edward Cooper, said growing concerns about the potential economic impacts of central bank quantitative easing and currency devaluation had hastened the move to Friday. Revolut, which raised $500 million in a Series D earlier in the year, has allowed users to purchase crypto directly from the app since it added support for Bitcoin in 2017. Although users can trade digital assets with other Revolut users, they cannot take them out of the app. See also, regulated exchange launches in US with crypto-backed Visa card offering. Revolut expanded to the US in late March. The bank said at the time new US customers would only have access to its core features. Additional services, such as its crypto buying service, would be added at a later date. A Revolut spokesperson confirmed to CoinDesk that US users were still not able to trade crypto on the app, though they said it is only because the feature has not launched there yet. South Korean Central Bank accelerates digital currency pilot to keep up with other nations. The Bank of Korea, BOK, has launched a new pilot program for a central bank digital currency, CBDC, amid concerns other nations could take the lead if it sits on the sidelines. The South Korean Central Bank said Monday it had reevaluated the CBDC proposal after observing that other developed nations, including neighboring Japan and its close ally the US, were moving forward with their own digital currency plans faster than anticipated. Abandoning their wait-and-see approach, BOK officials have now pushed the central bank into a 22-month pilot program which started this month to assess the technical and legal ramifications of replacing physical cash with a digital equivalent. The US and Japan had no plans to issue a CBDC in the near future, but they changed their stance recently to enhance research in the emerging area, said an official, speaking to the Korea Times. The BOK also decided to remain proactive in the rapid shift in payment environments here and abroad, so we are going to set up the CBDC pilot system and check technical and legal issues surrounding its introduction here. See also, South Korean Central Bank to organize a CBDC task force. CBDCs have become an extension of existing international rivalries, with some seeing digital currencies at the center of currency struggle to replace the dollar-denominated global economy. That China, the emerging global powerhouse, has made its digital yuan a top priority has forced lawmakers in other countries to press their own governments to begin work on CBDC initiatives. Back in February, a group of senior Japanese politicians petitioned their government, which has already joined a CBDC working group to share and collaborate on as much digital currency research as possible with close allies, including the U.S., against China's bid for complete currency supremacy. In the U.S., a digital dollar campaign has garnered support from a group of former regulatory chiefs, a Treasury undersecretary and presidential advisor. The U.S. government itself has kept its cards closer to its chest, but Federal Reserve Governor Lael Brainard revealed in February research is underway into whether a digital dollar could counter private initiatives like Facebook's Libra. See also, Sweden's central bank finally embraces DLT, but only in simulation mode. The BOK has previously expressed skepticism about CBDCs, and even now, in its most recent move, officials say they have no plans to issue a digital currency, perhaps in an effort to curb over enthusiasm. But one caveat buried deep within Monday's five-page press release says that position could also change should there be a substantial shift in domestic and external conditions. The findings of the research would be shared with other major central banks, the BOK said. Poloni XS Neutron-powered IEO platform moves exchange closer to Justin Sun's orbit. Polonex has launched an initial exchange offering, IEO, platform that aligns the exchange more closely with the interests of Tron founder Justin Sun. Seychelles-based Polonex, acquired by a group of investors including Sun in 2019, said Sunday the new IEO platform, dubbed Launchbase, would serve as a springboard to help quality blockchain projects grow and further develop their ecosystem. The IEO platform, together with launch partner Tron, will promote user adoption through distributing tokens and professional consultation, Polonex said in a blog post. Notably, the exchange said Tron's TRX cryptocurrency would be the only eligible cryptocurrency for purchasing new tokens on Launchbase. Further, the first company scheduled for a sale will be the Tron-based stablecoin lending platform Just. The blog announcement is unclear whether Launchbase is exclusively for Tron startups, or whether projects based on alternative protocols are also welcome. Huge congrats on launching Polonex Launchbase, a world-leading token sale platform. As Poloni XS strategic partner, Tron Foundation and I will fully support the Launchbase platform and its future development, Sun said on Twitter, Sunday. Similar to an initial coin offering, an IEO is a crowdfunding tool for cryptocurrency startups, with an exchange acting as a trusted broker offering the token sale. The exchange also provides a proprietary token to execute the sale, in this case TRX. For more on IEOs, check our video explainer. Polonex used to be one of the largest exchanges on the block. At one point, 50% of all crypto payments went through Polonex servers. This continued even after payments app Circle bought the exchange for a reported $400 million. By the time the exchange spun out again, it only made up 1% of the total market volume. Although Sun first denied reports he was involved in the investment group that purchased Polonex last year, he confirmed it later at an event live-streamed on Twitter. It's unclear who else was in the investment group, or how much sway the 29-year-old Sun has within it. Sun has a history of taking over distressed companies. In 2018, he purchased the internet file sharing platform BitTorrent, which, according to sources speaking to TechCrunch, had long been looking for a buyer. Initial uneasiness about the acquisition appeared to materialize this January when some former BitTorrent employees sued Sun and the new management team for allegedly subjecting them to harassment and bullying for not releasing software updates fast enough. See also, Polonex drops KYC for withdrawals below $10,000 following U.S. exit. Earlier this year, Sun also bought Steemit, the most popular app on the struggling blockchain-based blogging network Steem. A power struggle between Sun and the Steem community quickly ensued, which eventually led to a community hard fork in attempt to move away from Sun. Both Polonex and Binance staked tokens in support of Sun, but Binance founder Changpeng Zhao later apologized to the Steemit community for aiding and abetting a hostile takeover. Despite Sun's claims that Polonex operates independently to the Tron Foundation, the relationship between the two remains hazy. Sun appears to have active influence over Pollinex, having announced a TRX-20 airdrop campaign for Pollinex users during the same speech in which he said he'd bought the exchange. See also, fired employees harassment suit against Tron will move to private arbitration. CoinDesk approached Tron and Pollinex seeking to find out more on the relationship between the two entities, including information on the share of the exchange Sun actually owns. We'd received no replies by press time. Shift Network to build FATF-compliant identity layer for Polkadot. Shift Network is adding yet another blockchain to its decentralized digital identification network. The Barbados-based firm announced its intentions to build out a Polkadot parachain based on Parity Technologies' Substrate network. The move is part of Shift's larger effort to create a universal standard for cryptocurrency regulatory compliance. It also complements Polkadot's primary focus on interoperability. Once fully deployed, the Shift chain will enable Polkadot users to bridge identities from other networks, and from dApps built on other networks, to all Polkadot parachains, Shift wrote in a statement. In other words, Polkadot users will have access to their interactions on dApps built in other ecosystems. Shift is looking to become an identity layer for Parity's permissionless blockchain network, the firm said in a statement. Polkadot is set up so that anyone can build their own parachain. Read more, inside the standards race for implementing FATF's travel rule. In an interview, Shift co-founder Joseph Weinberg described the firm in two parts, a digital ID application tool such as one created for the island nation of Bermuda and architecture for compliance between governments, blockchain firms and users. To the best of our ability, we want to be able to provide open tools and infrastructure so that companies or smart contracts or non-custodial wallets are able to at least partially solve the problem, Weinberg said, describing the recent global regulation from the Financial Action Task Force, FATF, known as the Travel Rule. Weinberg said he helped write regulations for crypto governance in multiple countries, including Bermuda and Mauritius. Shift is adding those standards to every blockchain for ease of use, he said. Read more, Web3's Gavin Wood launches Kusama Network to test Polkadot protocol. The dedication to interoperability means Shift is code-heavy compared to other blockchains, having one of the largest, if not the largest, contract codebases in the industry, Weinberg said. The firm's blockchain itself is a version of the Ethereum Virtual Machine, EVM. This means that every public blockchain Shift wants to provide tools for has to be built manually, sometimes from the ground up. Minus its experimental canary network, Kusama, Polkadot has yet to launch. Once it does, Shift intends to be ready. Excited to see more projects integrating with Polkadot, Parity Technologies spokesman Peter Morick told CoinDesk in a DM. The goal is to provide Web3 project devs with all the options they may want to have at their disposal to build the next generation of decentralized applications. Binance, the largest cryptocurrency exchange by volume, recently signed Shift to build solutions for the travel rule. FATF created the guidance in 2019 concerning the movements of cryptocurrency across national borders. The Global Regulatory Watchdogs framework is a cornerstone of Shift's work, particularly after hiring two former FATF members as advisors last October. Victims accuse Wells Fargo subsidiary of turning blind eye to $35 million crypto Ponzi. Victims of an alleged crypto Ponzi scam have filed a class action lawsuit against a Wells Fargo subsidiary, claiming it ignored the activities of an employee accused of being one of the main perpetrators. The plaintiffs said Wells Fargo advisors did not inquire into the activities of James C. as who, while working as a Wells Fargo financial advisor, allegedly defrauded 150 investors out of a total of $35 million. According to the lawsuit, Cias, along with two co-founders, Quan Tran, a certified general surgeon, and Michael Ackerman, who had previously worked at UBS Securities, formed a scheme called Q3 in 2017, ostensibly as a means to pool funds together to trade cryptocurrencies. The Florida-based group encouraged investors, primarily doctors in TransNetwork, to participate by depositing funds. On initially raising more than $1 million, the group then began turning Q3 into a limited partnership and branched out by raising an additional $33 million from 150 investors all around the U.S., the suit alleged. The plaintiffs alleged Q3 only invested $10 million into cryptocurrencies, with the rest going straight to the founders. A $4 million licensing fee, supposedly for a trading algorithm, actually ended up in their personal bank accounts, the suit said. Cs worked as a financial advisor for Wells Fargo Advisors for more than 5 years, only leaving in May 2019 according to his LinkedIn profile. The plaintiffs claimed in their lawsuit that he often told potential investors he worked at Wells Fargo to encourage them to invest in Q3. The plaintiffs claim Wells Fargo should have checked on Cs' activity, as per their policy requiring employees to regularly report activities stemming from outside interests. Q3 IRV says Wells Fargo advisors did not inquire into Cs' role at Q3 during this time. See also, crypto scams pose more risk than payments fraud, report suggests. Although Q3 claimed it was averaging 15% monthly profits, the lawsuit says money not siphoned to personal accounts was mostly lost speculating on the market. Despite defendants' representation to potential and existing Q3 investors that their virtual currency trading was highly successful and that Q3 investors were free to withdraw the profits earned in their accounts after 1 year, defendants did not trade virtual currencies successfully and most of Q3 investors' money was misappropriated or lost in trading, reads the filing. But most of the funds were apparently spent on lavish lifestyles. Cs and his wife allegedly spent $3.5 million of investors' money on a house in Florida. Tran allegedly spent $1.4 million on a yacht, and $260,000 on a Bentley. Ackerman reportedly purchased 3 cars, another $600,000 on personal security, and a further $100,000 on Tiffany jewelry. The plaintiffs have accused Wells Fargo advisors, as well as Cs, Tran, and Ackerman, of fraud, negligence and unjust enrichment. The group also accuses the Q3 founders of counts including conspiracy to commit fraud and negligent misrepresentation. Wells Fargo is also accused, specifically, of one count of vicarious liability. The plaintiffs call for a trial by jury. If successful, they say Wells Fargo advisors should pay punitive damages as well as legal costs. See also, FBI used Bitcoin trail to catch Russian rapper accused of money laundering. Cs did respond to requests for comment. A Wells Fargo advisor spokesperson said the company had nothing to add. Crypto M&A and fundraising dropped sharply in 2019, PwC report. Crypto companies kept buying each other last year even as both M&A and funding deal flow in the industry took a dive, according to a report released Monday by PwC. On the M&A side, crypto-native acquirers took 56% of the deal flow, compared to 42% in 2018. The total number of M&A deals flagged by the report dropped from 189 in 2018 to 114 last year, while the value of M&A deals dropped by a whopping 76% from $1.9 billion to $451 million. Larger companies were able to eat up ones that provided services that were ancillary to their own, PwC Global crypto-led Henri Arslanian told CoinDesk in an interview. I think we should expect some of the big players to get bigger, but not by buying direct competitors, Arslanian said. Not by becoming vertically bigger but by becoming horizontally bigger. Unicorns are becoming more like octopuses where they have their hands in various areas of the crypto ecosystem. Meanwhile, the declines on the fundraising side of the report weren't quite as stark. Post-seed rounds took up 8 percentage points more of overall fundraising deals in 2019, a sign of the sector's maturation. I think that's something we should expect to see as well. As the industry matures, there will be enough deal flow and there will be enough exits as well to allow many of the crypto VCs to be successful, he said. Fundraising overall decreased by 40% to $2.24 billion and the number of deals dropped by 122. Equity fundraising decreased by less, showing only an 18% drop. The rise of Bitcoin in the second and third quarter of 2019 didn't stave off the funding drop, and the industry should assume going into 2020 that the global economic downturn will further affect funding deals, the report said. Last year did see a doubling of corporate venture capital involvement, taking up 6% of the deals. As clear regulatory frameworks in Europe and Asia begin to develop, more institutional players are taking notice. Family offices with long-term investment strategies that Arslanian advises continue to show more interest in crypto over time, he said. The type of companies receiving investment also changed year to year. In 2018, most VC funding went to blockchain infrastructure projects, while crypto compliance and regulatory companies saw the most investment in 2019. Deal flow is also moving away from the Americas and towards Asia and Europe, which increased their deal share by 8 and 6 percentage points, respectively. Last year was the first year most of the crypto fundraising and M&A deals happened outside of the U.S. Companies looking for new institutional clients are flocking to Hong Kong, while firms looking for a retail audience are considering Singapore's new regulatory framework, Arslanian added. We've definitely seen a number of the large players from the US and from Europe really look at Asia, not only from an expansion perspective but also as a point of fundraising from strategic investors, he said. Major crypto firms including Binance, Civic, Tron targeted in flood of lawsuits. A flood of class action lawsuits were filed in New York Friday, taking aim at a number of major cryptocurrency projects. First reported by Offshore Alert, at least 10 complaints were filed in the Southern District of New York on April 3, alleging the firms had sold crypto tokens to U.S. investors that were in fact unregistered securities. Among those targeted in the suits are cryptocurrency exchanges Binance (see complaint) and BitMEX operator HDR Global Trading, as well as notable blockchain projects like Tron (see complaint), Civic, Block, One, Kyber Network and Status. Buybox, QuantStamp and KuCoin are also named in individual complaints. The actions, which also name executives from the firms including Binance's CEO Changpeng CZ Zhao and Civic's Vinny Lingam, were brought by litigation boutique Roche Cyrulnik Friedman on behalf of the plaintiffs. The law firm is also currently representing the Kleiman estate in a lawsuit against Craig Wright over a trove of Bitcoin worth billions. The complaint against Binance states, Binance and the issuers wrongfully engaged in millions of transactions, including the solicitation, offer, and sale of securities without registering the tokens as securities, and without Binance registering with the SEC as an exchange or broker-dealer. As a result, investors were not informed of the significant risks inherent in these investments, as federal and state securities laws require. The suits have been brought on behalf of several individuals, including Chase Williams, Alexander Clifford and Eric Lee, as well as William Jong in the case of Civic. As class actions, they are also brought on behalf of all others similarly situated. In making their case, the plaintiffs raise the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission's action against EOS MakerBlock, one over its over $4 billion ICO in 2018. The firm agreed to pay penalties of $24 million for conducting an unregistered securities sale in September of last year. The plaintiffs draw comparison between tokens issued by the companies accused in the complaints and Block 1's sale of EOS. The Binance filing states, the creation of EOS tokens thus occurred through a centralized process, in contrast to Bitcoin and Ethereum. This would not have been apparent at issuance, however, to a reasonable investor. Rather, it was only after the passage of time and disclosure of additional information about the issuer's intent, process of management, and success in allowing decentralization to arise that a reasonable purchaser could know that he or she had acquired a security. Other filings make similar claims of similarities between Block 1's ICO and tokens issued by defendants. The reason the lawsuits have been brought en masse may be due to the statute of limitations in the U.S., which rules that a case over fraud must be brought within 2 years from a crime being discovered. FinTech attorney Richard B. Levin told Decrypt that the complaints are likely to go to trial. Dismissal of a case is an extraordinary remedy, Levin said. I don't believe the court will dismiss the cases, and I also do not believe the courts are going to grant motions for a summary judgment either on behalf of the plaintiffs or the defendants. New software fix offers Bitcoin miners increased security. The company behind the world's sixth-largest Bitcoin mining pool has released software that aims to patch several security problems with such pools. The software, included in the BIOS Miner software suite, is the first working implementation of Stratum V2, the protocol that Prague-based startup Brains released a specification for in 2019. With this software release, the company's effort to fix Bitcoin mining is no longer theoretical, it's been turned into functioning code. The importance of it is that it's the first real-life code or product using V2, so real Bitcoin is being mined by using it, Brains co-founder and co-CEO Pavel Moravets told CoinDesk. The most profitable way to mine Bitcoin is not to do it alone, but to hook up to a so-called mining pool, combine efforts with other miners, and get paid for the total computing power they contributed. But there are issues with Stratum, the industry standard used to connect miners to pools since 2012. Brains aims to fix them with Stratum V2. Brains co-founder and co-CEO Jan Kapik stressed that miners gain security and efficiency in terms of bandwidth if they run the software. This might seem like a meager consolation to miners, who have taken a hit to their paycheck since Bitcoin's BTC price dipped. Not to mention that Bitcoin's halving is approaching, which will cut their rewards in half. See also, Bitcoin halving, explained. Slush pool, operated by Brains, now has the software set up so miners can connect to them in this new way, providing better privacy for them and building in protections from so-called hijacking attacks, where other entities temporarily steal their hashing power. If all goes according to plan, the protocol could gain more adopters soon. The EMCD mining pool, for example, is experimenting with the protocol. Still to come. While the new release pushes important mining changes forward, the full specification has not been turned into code yet. The community can still provide feedback on the specifications, Moravets said. If Stratum V2 is to become an industry standard, the community needs to agree with the included changes. While this initial version brings security benefits to miners, it's important to note that the most exciting change, job negotiation, which could have positive consequences for Bitcoin as a whole, is not yet implemented in this software. Job negotiation, if adopted, could return voting power over Bitcoin protocol upgrades, which mining pools currently have, back to individual miners. By doing so, it could help decentralize mining in one sense by redistributing power from pools to the miners they are composed of. However, there are other ways in which the Bitcoin ecosystem is still centralized. For example, only a few companies manufacture the hardware run by miners to create Bitcoin. The feature will be added at a later date, which Brains did not specify. To make job negotiation work most efficiently, Kapik said a template distribution interface needs to be added to Bitcoin Core, by far the most popular Bitcoin full node software. Bitcoin equities markets rally on signs of hope. The new and now often cited connection between Bitcoin, BTC, and global equities doesn't just mean they fall together. Sometimes, it means they rally on potentially good news. And that seems to be the case on Monday, as positive data on the war on the coronavirus offer hope to the markets that better days may come soon. The price of Bitcoin is at $7,145 as of 13:45 Coordinated Universal Time, 8:45 a.m. Eastern Time, a 5% gain from the previous 24 hours. The move began during Asian equity market trading hours as Japan's Nikkei Index moved up 4.2%. Futures contracts on the Dow Jones Industrial Average also had some sunshine around then, indicating a more than 700-point gain when New York traders heard their opening bell. Part of that optimism in stock markets and in cryptocurrencies stems from a few glimmers of hope on the coronavirus front. Looks like we're piggybacking on equities with some data possibly indicating virus peaking coming out of a few of the European countries, said Dave Vizsaly, head of trading at Chicago-based proprietary crypto trading firm DVChain. To be sure, cryptocurrency markets often gyrate with little rhyme or reason, and an original selling point of Bitcoin was as a non-correlated asset, indifferent to movements in traditional markets. However, during the recent crisis, the bellwether digital asset has tended to track the incumbents. Signs of progress. Daily new cases are slowing in places like Italy, where they have stayed in the 4,000 range since March 30, at its peak on March 21, over 6,500 new cases were reported. New York, the hardest-hit state in the U.S., saw a slight drop in coronavirus-related deaths, 4,159 lives were lost in the Empire State so far, but Sunday saw the first daily drop in fatalities since the crisis began. That's not to say the week promises to be easy on the United States, where there are more than 300,000 cases, a quarter of the world's total. This is going to be the hardest and saddest week of most Americans' lives, U.S. Surgeon General Jerome M. Adams said on Fox News over the weekend. This is going to be our Pearl Harbor moment, our 9/11 moment, only it's not going to be localized. It's going to be happening all over the country. However, his commander-in-chief, President Donald Trump, took a more glass-half-full approach, proclaiming in all caps light at the end of the tunnel on his preferred method of communication, Twitter. Grim picture. Nonetheless, some in the crypto markets aren't sold on the idea that the worst is behind us. Paxos Exchange CEO Chad Cascarilla warned of a grim picture on Patrick O'Shaughnessy's podcast, Invest Like the Best, if fiscal and monetary stimulus prove too little, too late. Cascarilla sees about a 25% chance the U.S. would need a bank holiday similar to what happened in the Great Depression and even some nationalization in its financial sector. It looks likely that we're in a depression for at least a quarter or two, Cascarilla said. If you're in that for more than two quarters, I think you need to have bank failures. The market would have a really hard time digesting that. If we need to fill a $6 trillion hole, I am not sure we can do that in time before the feedback loops kick in. And then you can end up with a bank holiday and nationalization. First mover, trillions in coronavirus stimulus bring out the Bitcoin bulls. It's exactly why Bitcoin, BTC, was created, Michael Novogratz, CEO of the cryptocurrency-focused investment firm Galaxy Digital, told CNBC last week. It's a common refrain heard these days from Bitcoin bulls, the US dollar and other currencies will eventually be debased by the injections of trillions of dollars of coronavirus-related aid and monetary stimulus by governments and central banks. That should, theoretically, strengthen the case for Bitcoin, the oldest and largest cryptocurrency, as a hedge against inflation. You're reading First Mover, CoinDesk's Daily Markets newsletter. Assembled by the CoinDesk Markets team, First Mover starts your day with the most up-to-date sentiment around crypto markets, which of course never close, putting in context every wild swing in Bitcoin and more. We follow the money so you don't have to. You can subscribe here. Such predictions might eventually come true, but for now Bitcoin investors are stuck in a holding pattern. The cryptocurrency pushed above $7,000 on Monday, but for the past couple weeks it has struggled to hold that level, which it hasn't reliably traded above since early March. A nice recovery from the lows leaves investors hopeful, cryptocurrency analysis firm Arcane Research wrote Friday in a report. However, this is not yet reflected in the market sentiment. Any inflation stemming from fiscal and monetary stimulus could take a while to appear, partly because of higher unemployment and a drop-off in economic demand could relieve upward pressure on consumer prices in the near term. In the U.S. alone, roughly 10 million new unemployment claims were filed during the last two full weeks of March, and J.P. Morgan economists predict that a report this week will reveal another 7 million claims were filed last week. Bank of America says the lack of an effective policy response to control the spread of the virus will push 2020 global growth to a contraction of 2.7%, instead of an expansion of 0.3%. Nick Carter, a partner at Castle Island Ventures and co-founder of the blockchain analytics startup Coinmetrics, wrote last week for CoinDesk that the devaluation of money does not happen immediately, but over time. The 2008 financial crisis prompted the Federal Reserve to double total assets in a matter of weeks, and then double the size of the balance sheet again to more than $4 trillion over the next few years. But it took the money supply, as measured by M2, more than 12 years to double, at least partly because of low demand for loans in the years after the crisis. The Bitcoin market's tepid reaction thus far to the Federal Reserve's announcement of essentially unbounded quantitative easing might disappoint some Bitcoiners who are looking for a faster pump. Sylvain Sorel, author of the blog In Bitcoin We Trust, wrote last week that a separate move by U.S. regulators to reduce bank reserve requirements could lead to new money creation ad infinitum. This unprecedented currency devaluation in such a short period of time has been decided by the Federal Reserve in a totally arbitrary manner, Sorel wrote. His conclusion, essentially, was that people should buy Bitcoin. Jay Howe, CEO of the Malta-based cryptocurrency exchange OKEX, wrote last week in a blog post that more proactive measures would be needed beyond QE infinity. Those could include a new super-sovereign currency to address trade and economic imbalances created by the US dollar's dominant role in global finance. At present, Bitcoin possesses the characteristics of a super-sovereign currency, Howe wrote. The investment narrative that Bitcoin is a harder currency than US dollars and is getting additional traction from next month's halving on the Bitcoin blockchain, the once every 4 years occurrence by which the pace of issuance of new units of the cryptocurrency gets cut in half. Traders are expected to get a chance this week to observe how prices of two Bitcoin offshoot cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin SV, BSV, and Bitcoin Cash, BCH, perform as they go through their own quadrennial halvings. Some analysts said last month that Bitcoin was trading in sync with U.S. stocks. That was seen as a sign that some investors were selling the cryptocurrency as part of an indiscriminate flight to safety into dollars. Olga Feldmeier, CEO of the digital asset exchange Smart Valor and a self-described outright Bitcoin maximalist, says Bitcoin's price plunge earlier this year undercuts hopes that the cryptocurrency would serve as a safe haven asset in times of market turmoil. She instead recommended tokenized gold digital tokens like the Pax Gold PAXG that offer a crypto-friendly way of investing in the yellow metal, long seen as a reliable inflation hedge. Kraken, a San Francisco-based cryptocurrency exchange, noted in an April 4 blog post that the volume of PAXG trading on its platform surged to $13 million in March, a six-fold increase from February levels. Kraken clients appear to see PAXG as a safe haven of late since it is backed by gold, which typically acts as a safe haven amidst economic uncertainty, according to the post. But there are some indications that Bitcoin might be trading more like gold in recent weeks. VanEck, a money management firm that offers a Bitcoin trust to qualified institutional buyers, says Bitcoin's price correlation with gold jumped to 0.47 during the last couple weeks of March, from an average 0.03 over the past 8 years. A correlation of one implies perfect synchronicity. The next couple months could prove pivotal for Bitcoin as the U.S. suffers the worst stretch of the pandemic's health crisis and moves into the economic recovery phase. Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives, told CNBC last week the recently passed $2 trillion aid package would not be enough. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said he would ask Congress for more money if a $350 billion pool for small businesses runs out. More bazookas needed, executives for the Wall Street dealer Jefferies wrote Friday in an open letter to clients and colleagues. Is Bitcoin the real digital gold? With more financial bazookas getting hoisted into position, cryptocurrency markets will serve as the proving ground. Many Bitcoin advocates think it will prove to be a better long-term store of value than gold, according to the Kraken blog post. Only time will tell. Bitcoin is again looking to establish a strong foothold above $7,000, having tested dip demand with a pullback to $6,600 over the weekend. The cryptocurrency printed a high above $7,100 early Monday and is currently changing hands around $7,090. The bulls have repeatedly failed to keep gains above the $7,000 mark over the last 3 weeks, forcing investors to question the sustainability of recovery rally from the March 19 low of $3,867. Even so, the bias remains bullish, as a pennant breakout confirmed April 2 is still intact. As a result, the cryptocurrency remains on the hunt for a test of the descending 50-day average, currently at $7,522. If the upside break of $7,000 resistance again proves to be short-lived, the immediate bullish outlook would be neutralized. The bias would turn bearish if prices fall below support at the weekend low of $6,610. That would open the doors to the higher low of $5,856 created March 30. Crypto long and short, is Bitcoin more like gold or equities? In the recent market turmoil, Bitcoin (BTC) did not act like the uncorrelated asset many thought it was. Nor did gold. As things calmed down a bit, or as we got used to the new volatility, gold resumed its upward climb. But there are problems. It turns out that gold is not as fungible as we assumed. You're reading Crypto Long and Short, a newsletter that looks closely at the forces driving cryptocurrency markets. Authored by CoinDesk's head of research, Noel Acheson, it goes out every Sunday and offers a recap of the week with insights and analysis from a professional investor's point of view. You can subscribe here. Surging demand combined with refinery closures and shipping restrictions has created a shortage of gold coins and the small gold bars most popular with retail investors. And if you do manage to source one, you'll pay a premium to the spot price. According to Bloomberg, spot gold traded at $1,580 per ounce on Wednesday, while gold coins sold for $1,786 per ounce and 1 ounce gold bars for $1,729 per ounce. Gold bars and coins normally sell at a premium to spot, but the premium is apparently now more than twice its usual level in some formats, and many dealers have a wait list. Even the kilobar, a heavier lift, get it, for retail investors than the smaller coins and 1 ounce bars, is at a much higher markup than usual. Even larger denominations used for futures settlement are experiencing supply issues. Unusually, the London Bullion Market Authority, LBMA, and COMEX, associations based in London and New York, respectively, that jointly establish the global gold price through the trading of unallocated gold and cash-settled futures, this week put out a joint statement reassuring the market of their gold stocks. Yet, stories have surfaced of COMEX not being able to settle some of its futures contracts with the standard 100 ounces gold bar and needing to import 400 ounces gold bars from London. Last week, the CME Group, parent of COMEX, announced a new gold futures contract with settlement in either 100-ounce, 400-ounce or 1-kilo bars. Yet according to BullionStar, as of Friday there were no 400-ounce gold bars in New York. There's so much going on here that we could write a book, but for now it's worth keeping an eye open for disruption in physical settlement of gold futures. It's also worth remembering that the Bitcoin market may have its problems, but actual delivery is not one of them. Quarterly figures the end of the first quarter of 2020 this week gives us some nice packaging to wrap around relative performance figures, and an opportunity to look at where the market might go from here. On a longer time frame, however, the BTC-gold relationship is stronger than that of Bitcoin and equities, and we expect this to become the norm again as markets settle into a new outlook. Half gone unless you've been living under a rock recently, which would be forgivable given what's going on, you'll have heard of the Bitcoin halving, or halvening. If you're familiar with Bitcoin technology, you'll know what it is, if you're not, well, buckle up. The halving is a fascinating insight into how decentralized incentives can maintain a system of programmatic monetary policy with a hard cap. For a quick introduction, here's our explainer, with video. If you want more detail, over 30 charts and some in-depth miner commentary, as well as a look at what the impact on the price could be, download our free report. Inside, you'll see how Bitcoin's technology and its market have an intertwined relationship unlike any other asset class. Its value stems from the resilience of its protocol, which no single entity controls. In the increasingly fragile fiat system, with rules that change according to convenience, this will attract attention even if just for intellectual curiosity. The halving will hone that attention, as it highlights just how novel Bitcoin's technology is. What's more, it is happening at a time when fiat currency supply breaks all bounds of control. The juxtaposition is stark, and raises important questions about what constitutes value and how much we should sacrifice fundamentals for convenience. While Bitcoin's previous two halvings preceded a strong price rally, we can't count on this one having the same effect. The Bitcoin market is markedly different than it was 4 years ago, with a different level of institutional involvement, a more sophisticated market structure, and a greater relevance in macro trends. The reduction of selling pressure from a lesser flow of new supply may play a part, as might the narrative around the halving and the extra mainstream attention it brings. Narratives shape sentiment, which influences prices, although investors may prefer to wait for fundamentals to become more clear. But if ever there was a time when it was appropriate to focus investor attention on an alternative supply mechanism for a potential store of value, for whatever reason, it is now. Chainlinks. Binance, the largest crypto exchange in the world in terms of volume, has bought CoinMarketCap, the most popular crypto data site in the sector, in terms of traffic. Takeaway: in an exclusive interview with CoinDesk, Binance founder and CEO Changpeng CZ Zhao gave the data site's large number of users as one of the main drivers of the deal. This hints at a renewed push into the retail crypto investment market, and a possible consolidation in the crypto market sector, with exchanges buying ancillary businesses to broaden their service and reach. It remains to be seen how this changes both CoinMarketCap's and Binance's offering and target market, and whether other exchanges follow suit with similar acquisitions. Binance was also in the news for delisting leveraged tokens issued by derivatives platform FTX, which replicated a long or short position with 3x leverage. Takeaway: the reason Binance gave is that users weren't reading the small print and didn't seem to realize that these instruments could lose them a lot of money if not handled correctly. On the other hand, FTX, in which Binance has an undisclosed stake, has not experienced similar issues. This could be because of Binance's heavily retail user base, while FTX users are probably more sophisticated. Either way, this is an interesting example of self-regulation. These tokens were profitable for the exchange in that they generated a significant amount of volume, but, you know, protecting users comes first. Options market data shows a 4% chance of Bitcoin hitting all-time highs this year, and a 16% chance of ending the year above $10,000. Takeaway: call and put spreads can be used to calculate the market's expectations of prices at expiry, but, like all prices, they react to information and are likely to continue to move up or down as expiries near and as traditional market directions become more clear. As interest rates drop to zero, how will stablecoin issuers cover their costs? Takeaway: dollar-backed stablecoin issuers have been making a tidy profit on the interest they earn on the deposited dollars. If that gets totally taken off the table, will they resort to raising fees? Will that impact stablecoin demand, which has been rising as more investors park excess cash in stablecoins rather than fiat currency? Cryptocurrency exchange data firm Kaiko broke down the March 12 to 13 Bitcoin price movements to highlight the role of liquidity in volatility. Takeaway: analyses like these help to understand the role of market depth, size of bid and ask orders, in volatility. If bids and asks can be just wiped off the board in a sharp price movement, the movement will become even sharper in the absence of support levels. On March 12 to 13, market depth got decimated and spreads widened significantly, which exacerbated the price slippage, volatility and sharp decline. Analytics firm Glassnode highlights metrics that show Bitcoin network activity is recovering after the crash. Takeaway: I love network metrics to think that we can get an almost real-time look at what is actually happening under an asset's hood in terms of movement, accumulation and adoption. The increase of active addresses and number of small transactions suggests that panic is subsiding. And a historical comparison of more esoteric metrics such as net unrealized profit (NUPL) and market value versus realized value (MVRV) hint that the Bitcoin price has reached a bottom. Coinbase points the finger at leverage in the crypto sector as the main culprit of the March 12 crash. Takeaway: I agree, many accounts claimed that it was due to a fire sale of any liquid asset to raise liquidity for margin calls elsewhere. While there may have been some of that, we haven't seen much evidence. And if it were the case, it would imply a much greater crypto presence than we had realized of large institutional investors. Also, it does not make intuitive sense that institutions would exit a highly volatile asset on the way down, knowing it would be difficult to get back in at a similar price, unless they really had no other more liquid and less volatile assets in their portfolio, an unlikely scenario. Leverage in Bitcoin derivatives is relatively steep, especially on the larger exchanges, which leaves traders more vulnerable to margin calls than in other assets. And the sharp drop in open interest shows how much the crash affected the leveraged derivatives market. After the rout of mid-March, several exchanges have reported a sharp uptick in new user signups. Kraken, for instance, saw an 83% increase in signups, Luno had 50% more active users, and peer-to-peer crypto exchange Paxful doubled its signup rate. Takeaway: is this a sign of people wanting to hedge against the fragility of the fiat system? Or is it a sign of lockdown boredom, in which anything with sanitary risk holds appeal? Amid market turmoil and talk in traditional markets of circuit breakers, short selling bans, and even total market shutdowns, there have been some mutterings about applying similar measures to crypto markets. Takeaway: they will forever be just mutterings, though crypto markets can't close, no matter what, and that's a good thing. Open source code platform GitHub has buried the Bitcoin core code in an abandoned coal mine in an Arctic mountain. Takeaway: to add to the overall apocalyptic feel of the times. I am kidding. Sort of. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again PayCademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.